Yesterday I was speaking to the real estate agent that handled the sale of our Warren property, and he told me that since August he has lost 100 pounds. Now this man is Jewish, and in my previous conversations with him over the months that I was selling the building, he had told me that he does not believe in heaven or in hell. And I said, well, how are human transgressions rewarded and punished? He said they are rewarded and punished in this life. If you're bad, God will get you in this life. If you're good, he'll reward you. And we know that that is not always the case. Many times we see the evil living very soft and easy lives, and many times we see the virtuous leading very difficult lives. But nonetheless, my point is that he has taken on the fasting of a monk in order to lose those pounds which affect his health in this life, so that he can squeeze out of this life a few more years. And he has the willpower to do that, to lose 100 pounds in about 6 months for a few more years of life, which will end for him in the same way that it ends for a dog that is run over by a car. Our blessed Lord fasts in the desert in today's Holy Gospel. He fasts for three reasons. The first is to atone for the sin of our first parents. That's the whole purpose of our Lord's coming. His atonement for sin started at the very moment he was born in Bethlehem and did not end until his resurrection from the dead. His whole life was atonement. So to begin his public preaching, he fasts for 40 days. He also, secondly, wanted to teach us that fasting is a means of penance, that it does atone for sin, that it pleases God. An example is that of the Ninevites in the Old Testament, who were destined to perish unless they did penance. And Jonas actually complained to God that after he preached the gospel or a message of their destruction, God spared them. And God spared them because of their fasting. Thirdly, our blessed Lord wants to be an example to us, to show us that fasting is one of the principal means of guarding against sin. Saint Cyprian said, who lived about the year 250, "Fasting tames all rebellion of flesh, breaks the tyranny of the palate, and adorns man. It confines the inordinate motions to a grave, and divides and binds the extravagant desires, united with humility, teaches the servants of God to despise all worldly goods." Now our blessed Lord fasted also in the desert, and his going to the desert tells us something else. First of all, that we should do our good works in secret. Now that doesn't mean that we have to deliberately hide them, because we should be a good example to others. But it means that we should not display them in the manner of the hypocritical Pharisees. We should not be proud of them. We should not wear them on our arm. Secondly, his going into the desert should show us the necessity to detach ourselves from this world. The love of the world and the love of God are incompatible. They are two things that cannot go together, the world and God. And the more our love of God goes up, the more our love of the world goes down, and vice versa. Lent should be a time, therefore, of increased fervor and attention to God. But this necessarily involves detachment from the world. And our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The term 40 and the figure of 40 has always been associated with penance. It rained for 40 days and for 40 nights during the flood. The Jews wandered in the desert for 40 years. Moses fasted for 40 days before ascending Mount Sinai. And Elias, after having been miraculously nourished by the bread of angels, walked for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting from food and drink until he arrived at Mount Horeb. So our Lord fasts these 40 days and 40 nights as a solemn act of penance. It was the custom of the Jews to fast during the day, but to eat at night. But our Lord fasted also during the day and at night. So it was a superhuman fast. During the Middle Ages, the same was true. You could not eat the whole day, and they would not even drink water the whole day until after Vespers, which was around 5 o'clock. You could not touch anything, and even then, after Vespers, you could only have vegetables. You could not have fish, you could not have dairy products, and of course, no meat. All you could have was vegetables. That was the Lenten fast for 40 days during the Middle Ages. And gradually, as people became less fervent in their faith and their practice of the faith, the church relented on the rules of fasting. And what we have today is really not very much in comparison to the great penances that were done in the past. And it says in the Gospel that Jesus was hungry, and this fact shows that our blessed Lord was truly man. There was a heresy, one of the first heresies was Docetism, which said that our Lord was not truly human, but he was. Furthermore, we should see his divinity in this, because no ordinary man could have fasted in such a way. It was only because his sacred humanity was united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity that he was able to undertake such a fast, and for the same reason that he managed to get through the Passion, because any ordinary man would have died in the beginnings of the Passion, like the scourging, the crowning of thorns, and other things, the carrying of the cross. No one would have made it through the Passion, except if strengthened and sustained by the divine nature. Also, notice too that it says that our Lord cried out with a loud voice when he died. And that shows, and as he himself said, "No one takes my life from me, it is I who give it up." And so even though they had done everything to him, and even though all of the blood was out of him, it was he that gave up his life. No one took his life from him. Because if you were on the moment of death, you could not cry out with a loud voice. You would have no strength in you to do that. And that's a sign that he still had all of the strength that he wanted to have because of his divine nature. The lesson of all of this in the Gospel is that mortification is an integral part of sanctity. It is impossible to obtain sanctity without mortification. And one of the principal forms of mortification is fasting. It is not the only form, and that's very important, because interior mortification is equally as important, if not more important. That is the mortification of your will with regard to pride, the mortification of your intellect, also with regard to pride, the mortification of impatience, the mortification of lack of charity, which flows from pride. All of these things must be put to death within the soul. But what is very often the source of mortal sin in your lives is sins of sensuality. And the antidote to sins of sensuality, the softness and ease of the senses, is fasting. Fasting is a wonderful thing for the soul. The body doesn't like it. But it is a wonderful thing for the soul to be able to say no to the suggestion of a sense pleasure. And we say no even to things that are not sins. And why do we do that? Because sometimes, even when we enjoy things that are not sinful, that enjoyment opens the door to sinful things. And so in order to pull back, we must even say no at times to legitimate things, to train our will to say no to the evil things. And so Lent is a time of great sorrow for the body. Your body is very unhappy. But it is a time of great joy for the soul, because you are turning away from material things of this world and turning your attention toward God. The soul regains its control over the body during Lent. And that pleases God, which is the most important thing, but it also makes you feel right, because the soul should be in charge. You have a good feeling in your soul, one of order, correctness, because it is putting the body in the place that it should be. The soul is nourished by fasting. And while your body would like to pick up a piece of candy or a cookie, your soul wants to pick up the truth. Your soul wants to pick up moral goodness. It wants to pick up a piece of justice, a piece of charity, of kindness, of virtue, of humility and piety. Those are the candies, the delights of the soul. But when you feed your body excessively and feed all the sensuality, it is nothing for your soul. Actually, it brings your soul down. It brings your soul down to the contemplation of this world. And this world is nothing for your soul. It has nothing for it, because all of the things of this world pass away. Just think of that real estate agent. To squeeze a few more years out of this life, he is going through a fast that would embarrass even a great saint. For this life of death, as St. Bernard calls it. And who are we to complain of the fasting that the Church places upon us? We who have been given the light of faith, we who have been given this precious treasure of the Catholic faith, we should ask ourselves, could we go through such a regimen of fasting for eternal life that man is going through for a few more years of this life of death? I wonder how many of us could do it. And if we cannot, it's because we do not have the vision to do it. It is because of lack of faith and lack of hope, a weakness of those virtues. But we should take the lesson from him and embrace our Lenten fast with zealous enthusiasm, for there is no holiness without mortification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.